Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning to you, Jim. Couple more days, then a big celebration of Jim next Friday.
Yeah, I know. This is so weird.
That's like all right.
An elongated.
We'll just play it out. We figured next Friday we're going to have a celebration of Jim on our show. We'll open it up for like an hour for callers to call in and tell us their memories of Jim and how much they love him.
There's just, I don't know. Like I said, I think of myself as not such a big deal. But have remembered a few things.
You're a major personality.
Did you hear it? See, he transitioned real quick. Yes, I think of myself as not a big deal. But, you know, people think of me as a big deal. If they want to call in, let them. That is pretty much the transition. I love it. That's why we love you, Jim. Was it still icy out there? Is everything smooth and kind of moving along pretty smooth?
Everything's pretty good.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Porch tour, by the way, we were talking about on the air the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely in the works for the porch tour this coming summer. We can all gather again, do everything. We ran this by you. Would you be willing to host one of the porch tours if we can make it happen?
Let me put it this way. Then when I broached the subject yesterday.
To Linda.
With the boss.
It was not immediately shot down.
Oh, okay.
And then when the part about no cooking, no cleaning,
Then it's skyrocketed.
The arrow is pointing up.
Gotcha.
Nice. So you're saying there's a chance. Way.
There is a chance.
All right. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. So producer Matt put his opus together. I mean, he came through. This is spectacular. Every year he tracks Mike Tomlin's cliches, I guess, or verbiage in his press conferences. And he puts out a list, and he's put it out again this year. And it is really something else. So, producer Matt, what encouraged you to start to keep track of this?
I don't know. I just always found myself listening to Tomlin's press conferences. So I was like, well, if I'm sitting here listening to all of this and everybody talks about his, you know,
singularly focused, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
All his phrases and stuff. I was like, if I'm sitting here listening to this, why not just keep track of it and see how many times he goes to the certain wells that he does?
Right. Might as well try to put a certain pound bag in another pound, you know, bag or whatever.
What's the division of labor throughout the
correct
phrases?
Yeah. So what ended up being the phrase or whatever that he used most this season?
So this isn't really a phrase, but the word that he used most that I kept track of was significant.
You significant. Oh, okay. What else was there that was pretty high?
Collectively was right behind that, 48 times.
Yeah, we can't go over every single one, but collectively was 48.
And so forth was up there.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah, now, that's just a word. What about, like, phrases? So, participation be our guide. That seems to me to be one that was pretty high.
13 times for that.
That's top 10. Yeah.
Splash plays, 15 times.
He also, you know what else Tomlin's big for? Did you track this? Can't say enough about a player or team. A
20 guy. Times. Yep.
20 times.
Wow.
And you keep track of streaks, too. What was the thing that ended on the longest streak?
Ended on the longest streak, I believe that was collectively at 15 weeks.
15 weeks.
15 wow. weeks
you
in
know,
a row.
There was one that I think he started to use a lot more this year, which where he's appreciative of the efforts.
Of their efforts.
Yeah. I appreciate their efforts. I that's kind of a newer one to me.
Mm-hmm. I liked some of the new ones this year. We had weighty downs or weighty moments, right? We had getting on the moving train.
Yeah.
That was big this year,
especially
when the train was literally
was
going by.
Yeah.
He painted the barn twice. He circled back to painting the barn.
He did.
Again. Yeah,
which he started last year, I think, with painting the red barn or painting the barn red if you've got red paint. And squirreling those nuts, I think, came up a couple times.
Another one that he got away from, though, that he'd used more in years past was such is life in the NFL. He's kind of pulled back on that one just a little bit.
Bumps and bruises associated with play.
Yeah. How many times did he go with bumps and bruises associated with play?
Six.
That's
it? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Just in the Tuesday
press
conferences.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's a Sunday. That's like a post-game statement.
Right. Matt does not count post-game stuff.
No.
Oh, okay. What were surprising ones or ones that came? What were maybe ones that were zero last year and multiple uses this year? That kind of maybe he learned in the offseason, do you think?
Engineering victory was one.
Engineering victory.
Engineering victory,
I think he didn't use weighty downs or weighty moments
last year, did he? No. Preparing or working with an edge, that was a new one as well.
Yeah.
Keep a lid on it. He said that five times.
Keep the dogs off you, too.
Keep the dogs off you. That was a new one. Roll the ball out. I don't think he said that a whole lot in the past. He said that four times.
Didn't he use goons a couple times?
Yes, in a very flattering way.
He said something about robots, too, didn't he?
Rock and sock robots.
Yeah. Hostages.
So it's shake that baggage or the residue off us. There was another one there. And yes.
I believe
he one time this year during the press conferences, which he's failed geography and actually the way that the NFL works this year. That didn't he say all roads lead to Heinz Field?
He did.
That wasn't metaphorically or
nor literally.
Literally correct.
Yeah. What do we got? 65.
Yes. 28. No, they don't.
279.
And the playoffs did not lead to Heinz Field at all.
Reedsdale Street.
Yes. You know what flew under the radar that I only remembered after reading your list, Matt, was when the pocket is hot.
Yes.
I like that one.
That's quality.
I hope
work.
He brings that back multiple times next year.
I know.
Well, it might be.
Really pocket hot. Might they be real hot.
If they don't make that offensive line any better. Do you enjoy tracking this, Producer Matt?
I do. Yes.
Okay. Do you really get any calls nationally for people like Lebatard? I heard is big on this. I heard that he's talked about this before.
Some people will like tag him or some other people whenever they see the list, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'd rather say woe than sick'em.
Right. Yeah, one man's fortune. What's that?
One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. Yes. That's battlefield promotion is how Jim says that for the most part. Yeah.
You know what's climbing the ranks?
Let's hear it.
Over the last couple of years is tough nut to crack.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He's really gone with the squirreling the nuts and the tough nuts to crack.
Yes. Do you think that which one he pulls out? It's just a word, but one he pulls out all the time, mystical. He'll say mystical.
There's nothing mystical about it. We just suck.
And I'm thinking, like, do you think he looks up synonyms in the dictionary and he's like, I'm going in there, and if it's just something is special or great, I'm going mystical today.
Remember Mike Lang used to talk about how people would send him suggestions.
Uh-huh.
And he did use a few of them. So I wonder if
Tomlin gets suggestions?
Probably.
You know what I was disappointed by this year that he didn't use, that he used a lot last year? Was thoughtfully non-rhythmic.
Yeah, he didn't use that at all this year.
No.
Didn't go with it.
That's because they had no rhythm
Tuesday.
At all.
Yeah, I guess.
No thought was put into the offense.
I wonder, it'd be neat if he just went totally out of character next year and just went straight ahead, dead ahead, without any of these terms.
Plain Jane,
yep. Yes. I think he gets a rise out of it in so much as he knows what he's doing, and he knows people talk about the way that he talks, and he continues to do it as almost like a ruse.
His players do.
Yeah, yes. I think he's pointed out before, that's the way he communicates with the players in an attempt to get certain things to stick in their head, and it works with the players, and I think he just brings it out on Tuesdays or Sundays after a game.
Well, look, Jim, think back to his very first couple years.
Oh, boy.
Like his first year. Did he communicate exactly like this?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
From day one?
Yes. Because that's one of the things that it made him different, and it was the way he communicated. It was much different than Cower. Cower for the most part, although none of the coaches ever tell you what they're exactly thinking. But Bill was more straight ahead,
plain language.
Yeah, straight ahead, and Pittsburgh East at times.
Yeah.
Which people appreciated. And then Tomlin came in, and Mike was completely different. And yet he was completely different. But over the course of 15 years. It's become the same.
And it does make him unique to most coaches. Like, I don't know any other coach in the NFL who's going to say the same way Mike Tomlin would, we want to rise up in the face of adversity or something like that. Just they'd say it more plainly. They just would. But he says it that way because then, it sticks in the players' heads. So he says it that way with the players in their meetings and then trots it out on Tuesday.
And I know we've talked about this, but can you imagine that Tomlin's sitting down for a family dinner?
Yeah,
if he starts if he talks like that, like for real, he can't.
I wonder if he does. You know, I wonder if he does. There's no way he does, that he communicates in regular form like that. But good job on you, Producer Matt. Getting a lot of run here. Yeah. A lot of Twitter run. Jim, you know what we talked about in the pre-show today? Kids don't have nicknames
anymore. You're right about that.
No. Yeah. There was a big basketball game in the WPIL last night, and it was Laurel Cheeks, Highlands right? and Bel Vernon, and some kid from Bel Vernon is named Cheeks that I saw. They were doing the highlights. His name's Cheeks. And I'm thinking, like, my kids don't have any friends that have nicknames. A bunch of kids that
favorite?
Yes.
Jamal Onion Bryant.
Onion Bryant, yes.
Onion, yeah.
Because every time, like, that was a great team, right, with all those guys. And Mike White would write about him, and it was always in Jamal Onion Bryant.
Right. Kids don't have nicknames, though,
anymore. You guys are right. It's because, they're offensive. And you talked about the kid from Aliquippa.
Right. Pudgy Abercrombie.
Great name. Right, he's a little powerful guy.
Right,
and he's a great story, and he's going to be a great story for a number of years to come.
Pudgy Abercrombie's an old back.
Oh, I was thinking, isn't there like a new guy?
There's a freshman running back at Aliquippa right now that's very good.
Oh, okay, I thought
Pudgy Abercrombie's
too.
Way back in the day.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
The suggestions we've gotten for people, like Coach Ed gave us a great list earlier during the pre-show. Eddie, another guy named Eddie, actually tweeted at me and told he had friends Scuba, Gazoo, Gizmo, Red, Riggs, Birdman, the Mayor, you know, none of those are especially derisive. Like, nobody's being bullied by those nicknames, really.
And I think there used to be a lot of ethnically related nicknames, which was, I mean, that's just what it was. If you're
way
in a
back
mixed
in the
neighborhood,
day. Yeah,
right.
Nowadays, and I think you guys are right. It's like, well, you can't offend anybody.
Everybody's too afraid to be like, they would call the biggest guy Lerp or Lurch or whatever. You know,
there was a guy that
tiny
that there was a kind of another neighborhood over where I would go sometimes, and there was one of the older kids called me Toad, and I hated it.
Okay,
couldn't stand it.
Toad. Who was the kid that called you Toad?
Do you remember? Jim Campbell was his name.
Did you call him Soup?
No.
Right?
He was three years ahead of me. He was. You know, you're right. He was. I don't think he was called Soup, though.
But didn't a lot of people with a surname
Campbell?
That was a swing
and miss
there. Yes, I had a fraternity brother, Soup, and then there was a Bill Campbell, the reliever for the Red Sox. Everybody's Soup, except for this guy.
Yes.
But
all right, Toad.
But yes. And then there was another one I didn't like, which was Strap, because I took French in high school, and Jim or James in French is Jacques.
Strap.
Yeah.
See,
there's nothing
wrong
with that.
And it was inventive.
That.
There's nothing wrong with it, but I didn't like it. And then in college,
Hammer.
Our good friend Sean McDonald.
Yeah.
Radar.
He called you Radar?
Yeah, because I look like Radar. I had glasses.
Yeah.
So I look like Radar
from MASH. Yeah.
I wasn't crazy.
Sean McDonough called you Radar?
No, not Sean McDonough. Sean McDonald.
Oh, Sean McDonald.
The football coach at UNH.
Radar.
The guys in the dorm.
Like,
a lot of the football players in the dorm call me Radar.
Radar. Radar. I love it.
Okay. What did Linda call you?
Yeah, that's between us.
Hammer. Hammer.
I don't think she ever called me that.
Sweetie.
Yeah.
Sweetie. Okay. Now he's trying to. Now he's
trying to clean it up.
Right. I know. Come on. All right, Hammer.
I've got another. This is another funny one.
As long as she didn't call you Toad.
No. Okay. So I'm in fifth grade.
Uh-huh.
And we moved. We had moved like several blocks away, which was like moving to the other side of the country. I would ride my bike over to see my old friends from the other elementary school. Anyway, there was an older girl. They were hanging out on the playground with one of the kids' older brothers, and she was. Let's say she developed early. And I knew what her nickname was.
Jesus. Yeah.
No, I was like a little dude driving by, and she just looks at me. She was like tough looking.
And developed early.
You know, they said, this is Jim. He used to live around here. And,
uh-huh.
and she's like, sized me up. She goes, you know what my nickname is? I go, boobs. Why? and then I was immediately accepted by a few of the older kids.
It's 8:15. Stop out today to Century 3 Chevrolet for the
used car.
Can
you say that on the radio?
Well,
you're
quitting tomorrow anyway. No one cares.
Yeah, are they going to fire me?
No F's left to give.
None.
They've already asked me to fill in our different things.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
What was her nickname again?
Sharon.
Was her last name Peters? No. Okay. All right. Brian Baldinger joins 8:30. All right, so I saw the WPIL Hall of Fame class was revealed yesterday, including 1947 Heisman Trophy winner Johnny Lujack, who went to Connellsville, Notre Dame. MLB draft pick, Bob Gorinsky. There's all these different people. Micah Mason, who played at Highlands not long ago, and at Duquesne, he had unlimited range. He
could some older names and some new names.
Yes, Mallory Dietrich, who you might hear again in Epic Ending today. Mm-hmm. All these different people, right? Jason Nolf, who's an unbelievable wrestler at Penn State. You know him. He's from mm-hmm. Katanning. He was just wrestling in those worlds not long ago. I mean, he's a certified badass.
Yes.
So there's other names, various names. One, I thought this guy was already in. Deion Bentley from Penn Hills. Now, there's legendary in the late 80s, long jumper at Penn Hills. You know those things that you hear that you think, that might be an urban legend, and he actually, like, people pulled it off. He has one of these things that is... You think, and I'm sure there are people out there that are listening to us that saw this happen. Deion Bentley, I was told this, and again, I was 12, 13 years old, but I never saw it with my own eyes. He was an unbelievable, he ended up going to Florida and was a long jumper. He just got caught in the long jump era with like Carl Lewis and some of the other people in the track and field world where there were people, and there were some other names involved that were super good, and he couldn't break through the ceiling once he became like a professional. So he would always finish like fifth or sixth or whatever in the country. But he, at the Junior Pan Am Games, he went like 27 feet, 6 inches or something like that. And in a high school, he went 26 feet. Okay. Around here, here's the urban legend part. There were a couple places he jumped out of the pit.
All the way over it.
Because
basically.
The thing was only like 24 feet. Some people only had 22 foot pits.
Oh my God.
He would jump out of it and they'd have to measure into the grass.
That's insane.
Or there were places he showed up and was like, I don't know if I could jump here. I don't want to get hurt. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he said, I could jump further than the thing. And at Penn Hills, they had to construct, like, they dug it out and did a bigger one.
They had to make the pit actually bigger.
But that's could you crazy. Imagine having that much cojones be like, hey, listen, your pit isn't big enough. I'm going to jump past it. What are you talking about? It's 22 feet. It's 23. Yeah, I'm going to jump out of the thing.
He set the PIAA class AAA record at a Shippensburg meet. I'm just finding an old post.
What was it, like 26 something?
Almost 25, 5 1/4.
But then at like an AAU thing, he did 26 in high school, I want to say. But yeah, that's the urban legend part, that the guy jumped out of the pit.
Man.
And Deion Bentley, Penn Hills. I can't believe he's not already in the WPI Hall of Fame, but that is one of those things. I scored 100 points in basketball. Okay whatever, sure. I dunked the basketball, you know, 11 consecutive trips. Okay. This guy, I jumped out of the long jump pit. You know, he really did it. Really did it. Just fascinating, old school kind of tale.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST, or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the line right now, love talking to this gentleman. Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Looking for a car? Go to Driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, get it delivered. You can hear Brian with Jason Luckin for a Baldy's Breakdown. Check it out anywhere that you find your podcast. Just type in Baldy. And with that, we welcome in Brian, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider. Brian, a very good morning. Welcome to Pittsburgh. How's everything?
Everything's good, Colin. Good to be with you guys, man.
Great to be with
you. Get ready for some, you know, some good playoff football this weekend, I guess, hopefully.
Yeah, I know. We are, too. But we're, you know, we're in Steeler mode a little bit more. We'll get into those games in just a minute. Do the Steelers, you know, we've been knocking this around this morning. Do they need a complete overhaul on offense, or do they just need a little tinkering? Give it to me here, Baldy.
Well, I don't know. If you put Aaron Rodgers in that lineup, as Steeler fans, you know, were begging back in week four when they played up in Green Bay, I would say that that would fix a lot of their issues right now.
Short of getting Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or something crazy like that, what is the best avenue, you think? I mean, I'd love to see them add a veteran free agent to push Rudolph and Haskins, but then also keep an eye to the draft in case something does fall to them there at 20 that they like.
Well, I mean, I think they – I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe Mason Rudolph, you know, just emerges as, you know, Josh Allen, you know, or maybe Dwayne Haskins, you know, becomes some great pocket quarterback that reads defenses really fast, but I haven't seen it. I mean, they may change. They may, under Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin, they might really develop, but I haven't seen it, you know, while they've, you know, been given plenty of opportunities to play. So, I mean, if they think one of those two guys are it, I think that they'll, you know, struggle on offense next year, and I'm not here to downgrade it. It's just, you know, what the eye test says, and, you know, I think they need an upgrade at that, a big upgrade at that position. And, I mean, you can look at all these teams that have elite quarterbacks and, you know, and where they're at right now and those that don't have it. And so I think that's where they're at. I think they've got to find a guy like they found Ben, you know, and they need to build around him just the way Buffalo is doing, the way Kansas City is doing, you know, where these teams that are winning every year are doing right now.
Now, Brian, I know that Rodgers is a generational talent among a few of them that we have now, but could a quarterback like that alone make up for the deficiencies along the offensive line? Don't they need to upgrade that position first before they worry about a quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, Green Bay has won more games in the NFL than any team over the last 3 years. And Aaron Rodgers missed one of those games in the last 3 years, and they went to Kansas City with Jordan Love, and I'm not here to knock Jordan Love, but Jordan Love went in there, they couldn't score a touchdown. I mean, this team, you know, scores with the best of them in this business, and Aaron Rodgers in the lineup, probably who knows what he does against Kansas City back in week six, wherever it was. I think it makes a big difference, you know, when you're converting third downs and, you know, you're finding a weakness in the defense and you have elite movement when things break down up front to get the ball out. I mean, he started at quarterback this year with Yosh Nijman playing left tackle, who had never played in this league in his life. John Runyon, who was in his second year but had never played. A rookie, you know, center. You know, it didn't matter who was in front of him. Like, he just made everybody better around him on offense and defense. So, yeah, I think it makes that kind of a difference.
Baldy, I watched the Steeler. The Steeler game was always going to be that. The Chiefs were going to put it on them or at least be well ahead of them, I thought, and they were just a better football team. But one thing I always marvel at, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit, Patrick Mahomes' ability to handle the ball, I've never seen anything like it. The angles he throws from, underhanded, the trickery he does in terms of putting the ball in somebody's belly and then you don't know where it is. What does that do for somebody and freezes a defensive lineman or a linebacker?
Well, I mean, how many different ways can you throw a shovel pass? I mean, the only thing he hadn't done is just bowl it. Like, just literally bowl the ball to Travis
Kelce. Don't tempt him, Baldy. They'll put it together.
I mean, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like I know Patrick pretty good. I did a lot of Texas Tech games when he was out there. I did his first start in college. The guy is just literally, I mean, this is an old cliche, but he's like the ultimate gym rat. Like, put a ball in his hand. Like, I don't want to, you know, he's going to compete. I don't care if it's a home run derby, if it's, you know, a three-point shooting contest. You put a ball in that guy's hands. Like, that guy is, he's born to do that stuff. They're not like that, you know, everywhere. I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks, they go to these, you know, elite 11 schools, and they compete against 7-on-7. And this guy is just, the ultimate athlete of every sport. I'll bet he's a world-class ping pong player. And I feel like I am too, so I'd love to take him on at ping pong. But I have a feeling it would look a lot like Pittsburgh and Kansas City, you know, last Sunday night.
You'd hang in there for a while, and then things would go sideways,
for,
right?
For a little while.
Brian Baldinger, Odyssey Sports NFL Insider, with us on the Fan Morning Show. We were talking the other day about sort of the physical mold that a lot of the quarterbacks left in the playoffs are cut from. They're big dudes. There's not a smaller one than Jimmy G at 6'2". And the mobility part aside from it, Baldy, what do you make of that for what it means of the future of quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, look, the NFL can only take what the college game gives you. And so what is the college game giving you? I mean, it's not giving you a whole lot of Mac Joneses. It's giving you elite athletes are now playing, you know, quarterback, you know, like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. They're going to the quarterback position. They used to play other sports. They used to play other positions. Now they're like, let's put him at quarterback. Let's make him a dual option, dual threat guy. You know, and that's kind of what the NFL has to choose from. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of, you know, 6 foot pocket quarterbacks like Drew Brees coming out of college that are going to be taken high in the draft. I mean, I just don't think that that's what you're going to find. I mean, Alabama used to play, you know, that style of football, but, you know, they're going to change. Georgia's changing. I mean, all the elite programs, you know, they're going to get their hands on the best athlete. They're going to put them at quarterback. And eventually they're going to end up in the NFL doing the same thing.
Brian, what's going to happen? Because the matchup that I think everybody wants to see here, because we all love offense in the NFL, you've got one team, Buffalo, with Josh Allen, that scored 7 straight touchdowns. You got Mahomes. They scored 6 straight TDs. What's going to happen on Sunday night? Or is it going to be one of those funny games where we expect it to be an offensive explosion and somehow it turns out that the defense has ruled the day?
Well, I mean, Buffalo was as close to perfect as you can get, you know, on Saturday night. You know, they had 54 offensive plays. They didn't have one negative play. Like, they didn't have a running back that went for a minus one, or they didn't throw a bubble screen that got tackled for a minus two. Like, they didn't have a negative play. You know, it's as perfect as you could get. Now, can they duplicate that? You know, I mean, with Josh Allen, I think anything is possible. But it might be, like, I don't know how to predict it. You know, I can say, okay, well, the Bills lost the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead last year, and they said, we can't let Patrick Mahomes throw for 350 yards and 3 touchdowns and just let him do whatever he wants to our defense. So let's upgrade our defense line. So they go out and draft Gregory Rousseau, and they draft Boogie Basham, and they get Star Lotulelei back, and they look a lot better up front. In Kansas City, they get whipped in the Super Bowl by Tampa, and they said, we're not going to let this happen to our quarterback anymore. Let's go out and rebuild our offensive line. And they did. And Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith are tremendous additions to the offensive line. So both teams feel like they've improved from a year ago. You know, you can look at Week 6 and what happened in that game, and you can say whatever you want. Whoever has the ball last probably is going to win this game or have a chance to win the game.
Last thing before we let you go. We were talking about, and Chris just brought it up, the how the quarterback mold is and how these guys are built and how they're bigger and they can get out and move a little bit. You played on that 93 Eagles team, right? You were on that team with Bubby and those guys. And what would Randall Cunningham do in today's game with these rules and how they protect quarterbacks and the way offenses are?
You know, Randall would throw for 5,000. You know, and he'd run for, you know, 1,200. I mean, he was just that type of player. If you know, I mean, in 93, he either broke his leg or tore his ACL, I forget, against the Jets, like in Week 4, and we kind of collapsed. But, I mean, he was on pace to do all the things that we're seeing Lamar do or Josh Allen do, or, you know, he could do all the things that Mahomes could do. I watched a throw from Mahomes last night just going through, I forget which game it was, but, like, literally without winding up, he threw the ball 65 yards. Like, Randall could do the same thing. He could also punt it 80 yards, you know. So, like, there's nothing Randall couldn't do on a football field that we're watching these guys do every Sunday right now.
Brian, we thank you oh so much. As always, absolutely great guest. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. You bet.
All right,
Brian. Thanks, Brian.
Absolutely. Yep. You too. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. head to Driveway.com today to shop more than 25,000 new and used cars in Driveway's nationwide inventory. Next hour, Jim's got a question. He's got something he needs to tell you about Mike Sullivan, not the Steelers quarterback coach, but the Penguins' big boss.
Right.
That's coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Rooting for, rooting against in just a couple minutes. Hey, listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday. Hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. What a place. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday. Check it all out. 937thefan.com. Nick Costas, our guy. Can't wait to talk to him. Top of the hour. He is just something else. No energy, Nick.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, he's going to give us a lowdown on everything that's going on with the divisional round weekend coming up at the top of the hour. So there is that. But rooting for, rooting against, we do a couple times a week, and this is one of those times. So let's hit it. All right, rooting for, rooting against. And now the guy goes like this. So what are you rooting for? There's that. Jim, what are you rooting for?
This is kind of weird, but I'm finding myself rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, you got mine, but go ahead.
Oh, really?
No, continue.
Okay.
Continue.
I don't know why. I think this is why, because I'm looking at the matchups this weekend, and I know we all hope that they're close games, but I can't pick against any of the home teams. And I'm looking at the one I got to figure a road team here. So the one that looks to me, and maybe I'm fooled a little bit by what we've seen them do against the Steelers, but I don't know. The Bengals might be one of those teams that's, you know, kind of coming around. And I have nothing against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a fun, you know, that's a good team. I got some people on it. John Burton's down there, so that's fine. But I don't
Alvin
know.
Dupree.
Never mind.
Yes.
Yes. I am going to. I'm rooting for the Bengals.
All right, Chris. What are you rooting for?
We'll keep it in the NFL. I'm rooting for, and I saw this over the weekend, and I kind of did a double take. I was like, "What? Huh? All these coaching vacancies, right?" And my rooting against will be a different coaching vacancy, but this one focuses on the Houston Texans. We all know Brian Flores is interviewed there. That became news over the weekend. What also became news over the weekend was that Hines Ward apparently interviewed with the Texans for their head coaching vacancy.
I hope he gets a job and people destroy that team.
Yes.
He doesn't have a chance.
Nobody gave him one. I am rooting for Hines Ward to somehow land the Houston Texans head coaching job. He's like an assistant at FAU now or something. And like you said, Jim, no one gave him a chance. I'd love to see it.
There's no way he'll get hired. I am rooting for, as we now know, Jim's last day of regular work is tomorrow. We're going to have a celebration of Jim on the 28th, so a week from tomorrow. I am rooting for Jim to quickly get a retirement job. I think this would be great. He could tweet it out. Jim in the wild, we could see a lot of people, either a golf course marshal, a golf course starter.
Maybe a Walmart greeter during the winter
like
months.
That. He can't deal with that many people that don't have a common interest, right? So something like that. I'm also rooting for Jim to take up mall walking very quickly. White New Balances, yep. Ross Park Mall, 6:30 in the morning, silver sneakers, if you will, out in getting to it. Yes.
Really young for that. Sneakers.
I don't know. But I'm rooting for you to do one of those two things, if not both of those things. But the post-retirement job there, maybe driving around in a golf cart, hustling people up. Hey, I mean, you got two full holes in front of you. You guys want to pick it up a little bit here? One of those, playing a little slow. You being that guy, I'm rooting for that.
I'm all about that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. You have one lined up?
I kind of.
There we go. Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, I think it was said in a joking manner, but there's a couple places that have mentioned that to me.
Entertaining offers?
Yeah.
A bidding war.
You're like a big
free
agent.
Free golf. I mean, that's the number one. That's kind of the number one.
That's a perk.
Benefit, right? That you have to have, or else you're not taking it.
Oh, I don't. Well, that's part of the deal, isn't it?
One would think.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I can negotiate.
Are you entertaining offers to work at a golf course?
The places.
Are you?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
We're trying to line you
the
up.
The advice I've got. Keep going because I'm gonna. My rooting against.
Or do you want to take time totally off and do nothing and not be beholden to working somewhere?
That's kind of my rooting against.
Okay.
Can I just kind of wait that? I'll get there in a second. Let's root against.
Come on. Jim?
People asking me what I'm going to do now.
Okay. Well, there we go. I just blew that out of the water.
No, that's okay. That's fine.
That's fine.
The advice that we've gotten, both I have and Linda has from friends of ours that pre-retired, whatever. that have already been retired was don't make any concrete plans, even if it's like, hey, I want to be a ranger at Pheasant Ridge.
Well, I have one for you. You're going to sleep a little bit, right? Will you sleep in at least one day?
Yeah, and I got plenty of books to read on the treadmill, so that's fine. I don't have to walk at the mall. But just not to make any – no, but seriously, don't make any concrete plans. Just kind of feel it out, see how it goes. And I know that retiring in the middle of winter – is a little problematic because
certainly.
We can find plenty to do outside.
I think it'll give you a nice soft launch into retirement. Right. You know?
Soft, yes.
He's so old he doesn't even buy green bananas. He's that guy. Yes.
Not quite.
Yes. Okay.
Not quite. That's what I'm rooting against. Don't ask me what I'm going to do. And I know now everybody's going to ask me what I'm going to do.
So what are you going to? How about a shuttle driver at the airport? One of those guys.
Drive for NAMS.
Yeah, you.
There you go. You've always talked about it.
No, that is a great job for part-time retirees. Yeah.
Jim is going to be driving for NAMS and takes that NAMS van right down to Lynch Golf Sales, hits some balls out there,
over
and
to
then
Moon
over
golf
to
Club.
Moon Golf, and he's a ranger, and he's going to put it all together.
Start a little golf course.
I'll be a ranger in the NAMS van.
Yes.
On the golf course.
Doing your bets on your phone for
Parks Casino.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got? What are you rooting against?
I'm rooting against... Harbaugh to Vegas.
We
don't need another Harbaugh back in the NFL. I don't need him doing his khaki pants thing. And to be honest, it's more because I'm rooting for this Rich Bisaccia guy. Like, nobody ever, as an interim coach, takes a team to the playoffs. It just doesn't happen. At least it didn't in the Super Bowl era until this guy did it. With everything that went on with that team this year, he still somehow... it led them to a playoff appearance. So keep Rich Bisaccia around. Give him a 2 or 3 year trial run. Don't bring another Harbaugh back into the league. I'm rooting against that.
Yeah, see, I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting against the continuation of there not being some sort of governor on this thermostat over here.
Mm.
I came into, and Zeiss worked, was the last person to work before I made it in very early this morning. It was on 76. Look, I'm okay with it being warm, okay? Especially when you come in from the cold and it's icy out. It's going to be negative degrees this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong with Zeiss. There's something wrong with them. I come in, it's generally between 74 and 76. It should not. I have it on 70 right now. That's even too much. Here, it should be 68, 69 is my liking. He had it on 76 today. It's normally between, 74 and 75. There needs to be some sort of, a governor on this to where you're not allowed to bang it up like that. I came in, and you could see the you ever driven, between Los Angeles and Las Vegas, and you see
the
wave on the concrete?
Yeah.
It looked like that on my deck, or on my desk today. I don't know why he does this, but he makes it uncomfortable in this studio.
When you get older, that tends to happen, but he's not that old.
No.
No. He's getting there. He's getting there, but he shouldn't have it at 76.
It's too hot.
Ugh. I mean, I walked in. I'll tell you how hot it was.
At the very least.
I walked in. I could taste it.
Ugh.
You know, you taste the heat.
Yeah.
I could taste it as soon as I walked in the studio.
It smells like burning dust.
Yeah. You could taste it at the very least.
If you're going to turn it up, you want to jack the temperature up while you're in here, by all means, especially if you're the only person in here, go ahead. Turn up to 84 for all I care. Just set it back to what it's supposed to be before you leave. That's all we're asking.
There's that. You know, it's okay to leave it how you found it.
Exactly.
That's an okay principle in life, but Zeiss, you don't care.
So you're gonna leave it how you found it?
I will not.
76 for Joe and Cook and Joe?
Well, no, because Ron has to come in and Joe have to come in, and I don't want to make it
Sure.
Well, for Joe, I don't want to make it uncomfortable for Joe. You know, it is what it is.
Of course not.
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.